We are going to talk with the author of the new book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. And we'll talk about some of the 50 or more favorites from across the state that are highlighted in this book, and we will welcome your favorite too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are going to celebrate supper clubs. And we wonder, what is your favorite supper club and why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine. Cardine Show. Our guest is Ron Faola. He is the author of the new book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. He was also the author of a previous book about supper clubs, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, An Old-Fashioned Experience, and is the producer-director of a 2011 documentary by the same name. He was also the producer-director of the 2009 documentary, Fish Fry Night Milwaukee. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
We talked to you about many of those books and documentaries in the past,
we
but
did.
this is brand new. So you are not just updating the previous book. These are 50 more favorites.
50 more around the state, and they're all just as good as the other ones, and there's plenty more out there, too. So,
well, you know, I went to one on Friday night. It was highlighted in your first book. It was the Dorf House Supper Club in Roxbury, which is, I guess, near Sauk City, just north of Madison.
Yeah, that's a great place. German-themed. Did you see a Oompa band while you were there?
There was no Oompa band, but it was Friday fish, so I did not have their German specialties so much as I had the Wisconsin fish fry specialty.
And they get voted, I think, the best fish fry in Madison.
One of them. I mean, it really was very nice. They had the salad bar and the fish, and could have had German chocolate cake for dessert, but I passed on that. What was really neat about it is, I saw a businesswoman dining by herself. I saw a huge family of eight with grandma and babies and, you know, mom and dad and kids. And it was just a wide variety of singles and ages and families. It was it really was a social experience. I ran into an old friend. I made one of the servers became a new friend. It was really great.
That's what supper clubs are for, you know, really meeting people and maybe running into somebody you know, or suddenly becoming friends with one of the staff.
The staff member was wearing like lights that were, I think they were like 4th of July kind of lights, and she had a ring on that was, and I admired them, and she gave me one of her extra rings, so I could have this plastic ring that was flashing lights and such. But it was just lovely, and I guess I'm talking as though everybody knows what a supper club is. I think most Wisconsin natives are familiar with supper clubs, but for those who may not be from Wisconsin, what is a supper club?
Well, without being too flip about it, it says supper club on the door. But it's a family-run place, and they're, at least for my books, they're only serving supper. The families often live on the premises. Food is made from scratch. And again, the regular customers and the mix of tourists and people that come in, let's say, for the summer and stuff, it's a great mix of people.
And they usually are. That's where the supper club comes from, that they serve supper only.
Right. And, you know, that was a mix of, it came out of New York during Prohibition. Nightclubs were serving food to kind of cover up the fact of some of the drinks that they were being served. But the term started coming around in the 40s. A cigarette company had a radio show called Supper Club. And it would broadcast from New York and L.A. on NBC 5 nights a week. And Perry Como was the big star of that.
Is that right? I didn't know that. Yeah. All these years, and I never knew that that's where the name came from.
Yeah. So that really help the name of the term get out there, and people wanted to go to supper clubs.
And why is it that I associate them with Wisconsin more so than any other state?
Somehow Wisconsin really took supper clubs to heart, and we just, I think because of our recreational nature and these places that were available throughout the state transferred over from maybe taverns and roadhouses into supper clubs as food became more more available after the war. And we were serving steaks and lobster, things that were kind of a lot more fancy and stuff you might not make at home.
What makes a supper club a good one?
Somebody told me how full the parking lot is. So,
yeah, that makes sense. But when you mentioned that we have 50 supper clubs featured in your book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, another round, 50 or so were featured in your first, and you say there's plenty more. I mean,
right.
I didn't realize there were so many. This is we have hundreds of
hundreds.
Supper clubs?
And yeah, and the surrounding states, you know, Minnesota might have 6 or 7, and Iowa has a handful, Illinois a few, but Wisconsin has probably close to 300, depending on how you classify a supper club. So,
yeah, I mean, the definition is changing somewhat now. They're becoming more modern, or they're now open not just for dinner.
Yeah, some are, especially in the urban areas in Appleton, Green Bay, Madison. A lot of places are open for lunch. They're just trying to capture some of that business crowd that some of the chains are getting. And so I can understand that, but
now, what made you put together a second book on supper clubs?
I had lots of requests and lots of recommendations from people when I do book signings and presentations, and I had the list compiled already, and I just started adding to it and updating it. And I remember talking to the publisher as soon as the first book came out, and I said, "We need to do a second book," and he kind of gave me a funny look, but you know, he agreed. So
yeah, and now the Department of Tourism just earlier this spring released a new ad campaign, and one of the ads features supper clubs.
Right, and I was at the taping of that, and it was shot at the Buckhorn in Milton, and it's a 30-second commercial, so it goes by in a flash. They took 2 days to shoot it, but it was interesting to be there and see everything. And it's a great commercial, and for the Buckhorn, they put and a waitress named Diane in the commercial, and now everybody's going to the Buckhorn and saying, "Where's Diane?"
And there is no Diane.
She was just the actress that was playing
That's
the part.
That's funny. I want to go to the Buckhorn in Milton now. What? Tell us about the Buckhorn in Milton.
Oh, they're on Lake Koshkonong, and so they've this beautiful view. They have great prime rib, one of my favorite places for prime rib, and they do a lobster boil in the summer. And the lobster boil's on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and it's great. You don't have to be embarrassed about wearing a bib because everybody's wearing a bib, and it's another place to meet people that are there. It's on nights that they're not normally open, so it's by reservation, and they do 90 lobsters, and they do the big flame over, and people take pictures, and you're right on the edge of the lake there, and it's, you know, always a beautiful sunset and so on. So
that sounds promising. When that ad came out from the tourism department, and it was a nice ad. Some people said, "Wait a minute! All we're seeing here are mostly older white people." Tell us the demographics of who goes to supper clubs.
There's a mix, but in the commercial, there's a African American man that he has a drink. He's not drinking it because you can't drink in a commercial. But
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. Well, maybe it could have been, you know, fake, but it probably was. But
what about do young people today have any desire to go to supper clubs?
We're starting to see that at the places because there's more attention being paid to supper clubs now. So you're starting to see younger customers come in and bringing their kids, and that's a good thing to keep supper clubs going.
Chris on Facebook says, "The supper club capital of the world is where I grew up, Calumet County." It's up in the Appleton area, right. Kind of, sort of. I don't think I had any comprehension that there were restaurants where a vegetable platter and a crock of cheese were not automatically brought to the table. My whole family and guests from another state were horribly food poisoned one night. Oh, that's not nice. Anyway, nostalgia from a bygone era. Now, is it a bygone era?
I think it was, you know, until now the new focus on it is, you know, people returning to these restaurants of yesteryear, so, you know, in a sense. But, yeah, you know, it's old fashioned slow dining. It's not hurry up and get out. They're not playing, you know, loud rock music to get you moving. And there's not 14 TVs, you know, in the dining room. And so it's meant to be a destination for the evening.
Yeah. Calumet County does have that designation as being the supper club capital of the world or something along those lines. Are there more supper clubs per capita up there, apparently?
Well, they say there are. I've seen the list. They kind of, you know, add a couple places that might be. But, you know, they were smart to come up with that. I think it's supper club capital of the Midwest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just draws more attention for going up there, you know, but
it's a kind of a gimmick, but they apparently are capitalizing on the popularity of supper clubs. So what do you attribute the strong resurgence in popularity of supper clubs?
Well, the movie really helped when it first came out because it was so popular, and it's been on not only Wisconsin Public Television but Milwaukee Public Television and PBS nationwide. It got licensed by the distributor, and so people were seeing it around the country. And I would get emails from people in North Carolina or Texas or wherever and saying, I used to live in Wisconsin, or we vacationed there, and we used to go to supper clubs. And so it really resonated with people. And then the first book came out, and that really took off, you know, and then people had something to travel with. And I see people now at signings where they have notes of where they've been. They have the owners sign their pictures or staff members, and they, you know, if there's paper menus, they put them in there and stuff. So it's like something, it doesn't sit on a coffee table. People take it with them. So.
Well, and it's funny, Ron, when your book first came out, I made it as a sort of an unofficial bucket list thing to do. Whenever I visited a new community or went traveling around the state, which I do a lot for my job, I would make a point of seeking out a popular supper club or a local supper club, and it's fun.
And that's why I put everything in regions, so of the state, so that if you were in Northeast or somewhere and you wanted to hit a couple places, you could.
Yeah, we have Jerry on Facebook who says, check out Ishnala in Wisconsin Dells. Excellent food, and the club has the best view in the state. The cocktail bar is also very cool. Ishnala?
Ishnala is on the cover of the first book, and as Kyle Cherick put it, they are the Sistine Chapel of supper clubs. So,
yeah, I have not been there. I have it on my list of places to go, and it is. Why do you think it's such that, maybe you didn't call it that, but why do you think it's such a premier supper club?
Well, the view is amazing of Mirror Lake, and the way the building is situated, but it also has trees growing through the dining room.
Oh, that's perfect.
Live trees. And they're named. They're Chuck, Bob, after the seven Hoffman brothers.
Who are the Hoffman brothers?
They started the Hoffman House franchise, and they bought Ishnala back in, I want to say, the 50s.
I see. All right.
And opened it up as Ishnala. And so their pictures are above the bar, and now they're also named after the trees. And it's just a beautiful place. You're in the Dells, and yet you're in the middle of nowhere. You're not around the gaudy, flashy stuff. So. And the food, you know, is good, and it's classic supper club fare. You know, they don't change anything.
We are talking about Wisconsin supper clubs, and we're welcoming your favorites. We're welcoming questions you might have. Why do you think Wisconsin loves supper clubs so much? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Ron Fiola is our guest. He is the author of the new book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking supper clubs on the Ideas Network, talking some about the past, the present, and the future of supper clubs, and wondering what your favorite supper club is and why that is. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Ron Fayola, who is the author of the new book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. He is also the author of a previous book about supper clubs, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, An Old-Fashioned Experience. He's also the producer, director of a 2011 documentary on Wisconsin supper clubs. So he knows his supper clubs. And I wanted to ask you about, maybe as we talk a little bit about the future of supper clubs, Marcus on Facebook says, sad to say, one of my favorite supper clubs will be closing. The Buccaneer Supper Club in Roseville will be closing for good on June 22nd. Well, that is indeed sad. You are familiar with the Buccaneer, right?
Yeah, they are in the first book, and really nice place to go with. Is run by two couples, and I'm sad to hear that they're going to close. And I remember being up there and asking them what they thought the future held, if their kids were going to come back in and take over, and they said no. So obviously they didn't find an owner or a new owner.
Yeah, you said it was for sale, but nobody perhaps was ready to buy. And so, yeah, that's too bad.
It's a tough business, you know.
Well, talk some about that. Why is it a tough business?
Well, especially if somebody comes in to be a new owner, you have to bring everything up to code, which a lot of these places are old and they're kind of grandfathered in with some of their electrics and plumbing and stuff. But it's also just expensive to run. You don't have the corporate money that comes in for chains, you know, the ad support, and the cheaper you're buying tons of food, you know. And so they try to get the best food possible, and it costs a little more. So if they're ready to retire, you know, and nobody's buying, then it's going to close.
Yeah, well, while your movie and previous books may have sparked a resurgence in interest and popularity of supper clubs, I remember talking to you about supper clubs closing down and maybe not other ones taking their place. Is the supper club endangered in any way?
We've seen quite a few close around the state. Even in where I live in Greendale, we used to have the Rafters in Oak Creek. And places, Ray Radigan's in Kenosha suddenly closed after a family dispute in 2014. And so it's a variety of things, money, family issues, you know, people not taking it over. I think now it's not the economy anymore. It was when I first started doing the movie, the economy was still affecting people going out. And now people are going out more to places. So, well, you know, it's not as much as that, but it's still, like I said, it's an expensive venture.
Yeah, you were interviewed for a piece, and you were asked if you were to open your own supper club, where would you open it, and what would you have on your menu?
Well, there's nothing like a pyramid in the middle of a cornfield, and that would be the pyramid that closed down some years ago. Shaped like a pyramid, it's outside of Beaver Dam there, and my menu would just be the basic, you know, supper club, fish fry Friday, Saturday prime ribs, Sunday chicken and ribs kind of thing.
Well, let's take some calls as our lines are full now. Rich in Choteau is with us. Hi, Rich.
Yeah, hi. I'm sitting right here looking at this supper club. It's been closed for like 4 years. And I wanted to ask Ron if he ever, no, it's been closed longer than that. What happened? They had three floods on the Sun River that runs right up from Lake Michigan about 2 miles away.
Where is this exactly, Rich?
Choteau is like Two Rivers, Manitowoc.
And this is where the supper club is?
Yeah, it's just a beautiful supper club. And what happened, they had what doesn't flood lately, but it's raining right now. But it had three floods, and so Choteau Industries, they make furniture, bought the property, and they just closed it down. But it was built in like the 40s, and probably thousands of people got married there. And I just wanted to ask Ron if he ever heard of River Falls Supper Club.
Okay, so that's what I was confused. River Falls Supper Club in Choteau.
I've heard of it, yeah, and it's unfortunate. And the buildings, you know, when they're built so long ago, they can't withstand, you know, some of the environmental things so much. So
yeah,
it's not surprising.
And that's one thing about supper clubs, too, I'm thinking about, is the wedding receptions are popular at supper clubs, aren't they?
Yeah.
And many of them, anyway.
Yeah,
the bigger ones.
And proms,
yeah,
and so on.
Let's go to Marianne in Superior. Hello, Marianne.
Good morning. We have a new supper club that just opened up about, 6 weeks to 2 months ago.
Excellent.
And it's called Epic.
And tell us about, have you been there? What do they serve?
It was absolutely wonderful. Super trained staff. They make their own mixes for cocktails, their own herbs. It's a lot of a locally grown food. I had some friends that went in, and I believe they said they had a bison burger that they split that was just mouth-watering. I happened to have a pasta dish, and I could feel all of the pasta going directly to my hips because I eat every bit.
I know. As I was dipping my haddock in that butter, I was thinking the same thing, Marianne. Oh, my goodness. So Epic, this is exciting, a brand new supper club in Superior.
Yeah, and, you know, there are others around the state that I've seen that have opened or reopened older supper clubs. So that's a good sign, you know, that people are actually will come back and put the effort into opening these up.
Yeah, and thanks for letting us know about Epic in Superior. Let's see. Let's go to Karen in Crystal Lake, Illinois next. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Julie. Hi. Is it Ron?
It's Ron, yes.
Yeah, great books. I just love them. And one of the reasons is because when we were in the late 60s, early 70s, my folks and their brothers bought a place up on the Chena Lakes. Are you familiar with that area?
Sure.
Near Eagle River?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering, I picked up your first book. I don't think I remember seeing any of those because we used to take our boat and, you know, on Friday go to the fish fry and they'd have entertainment and it was really, you know, fun.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of supper clubs I didn't feature. There's just so many out there and certain areas I tried to, you know, not put too many in one geographical area, kind of spread it out around the state.
Yeah. I'm going to be up in Eagle River, of all things, on this coming Saturday. Are there some, a Northwoods one, if it not specifically in Eagle River, but in that area that you might mention?
Well, yeah, there's the Four Seasons in Arborvita.
Sure.
It's really closer to St. Germain, but that's a nice place on Big Arborvita Lake. And it's got a great view. The White Stag and Sugar Camp, that's another interesting place because they charcoal broil everything out in the dining room.
Oh, cool.
The kitchen doesn't even have a microwave or a fryer. Everything's done out there, so.
Yeah, I've heard of both of those places. And I also think about, for some reason, places that have gangster lore associated with them. Are there any of those still around?
There's plenty. And my line is I've now set the record for being to more supper clubs than Al Capone has. Because it seems like every supper club I go to, they say, Al Capone was here. You know, and a lot of them, it's true, but maybe some of them are,
yeah,
they certainly were mobbed up, you know.
Ron Fayola is our guest. He is the author of Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round, brand new book featuring 50 more favorites from across the state. His first book also had about 50 supper clubs featured. These are new ones in this new book. His previous book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, An Old-Fashioned Experience. So what do you like about the supper club experience? Do you have a favorite supper club, or do you have a question about supper clubs and the whole culture of supper clubs? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. You mentioned that you were trying to feature supper clubs from all over the state. Is there an area of the state where, first, supper clubs are more numerous?
There are quite a few areas. You know, the St. Germain, Minocqua area, you throw a rock and you hit another supper club. And you got Beloit, Janesville area, the even, well, Madison. I guess if you include all the places, including the ones that are doing lunch, but Green Bay, Appleton, it's interesting how, you know, they kind of proliferate at, in certain areas. So
yeah, what do you think? Is there some sort of I don't know? Is there some sort of theme or reason why they might proliferate in certain regions?
It's probably the just what people like to do, or go out, you know, go out and have, you know, prime rib, especially in the Appleton area. They seem to, the places try to outdo each other on how big their prime rib is.
Yeah,
and there's one place that even goes as far as 109-ounce prime rib.
Is it
bone-in.
Is it like a requirement that you have to have prime rib on Saturday night?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And then you have to have roasted chicken on Sunday?
Yeah, so you can make amends for the prime rib on the night before.
And you have to have fish on Fridays?
Oh, of course, you know, and whether it's deep-fried fish or pan-fried walleye or whitefish or something, you know, it varies by the
region.
Yeah, in fact,
I went to a Door County supper club on one of my travels, and based on the recommendation, maybe from you, maybe from listeners, I went to, I think it was the Greenwood Supper Club in Fish Creek, and,
yeah,
and their specialty was broiled whitefish, not, you know, not the typical fish fry, but
yeah, they do a great job up there. They get it locally, and you know, it's very fresh, and just, it's, you know, just broiled, it, nothing, you know, no batter or anything. So
let's take another call from Rachel in Madison. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's a great topic.
Thank you. Do you have a recommendation?
Yes, I do. I lived in Rhinelander for a while back in 2000, and they've got a real classic up there, and it's called the Al Gen. I think it's A-L dash either G-E-N or J-E-N. Like I said, it's just on the outskirts of Rhinelander, and they used to have, don't know if they still do, this all-you-can-eat fish fry on Friday nights, where they would just keep bringing it, and they had, obviously, the deep-fried fish, and they had German potato pancakes with the applesauce, and they had potato salad, and they had all-you-can-eat coleslaw. And, you know, they had the breadsticks with the cheese dip at the beginning, and it was just wonderful. And I think it was, I mean, this was back in 2000. I think it was only like $6. But they still had, of course, the delicious prime rib Saturdays and roasted chicken and ribs on Sundays and the whole thing. It was kind of a dark wood-paneled place with a little dank bar, in the, not dank, but dark bar when you first walked in. And then at the back, they had this very adorable little anomalous shrine to Elvis.
Oh, how cool. I have to go there because Rob, my husband, loves Elvis. He respects Elvis. Let's put it that way.
They're Elvis decanters of, like, whiskey and stuff, so.
Oh, is that funny? So is the Al Gen still around?
Al Gen, yeah. And they're in the new book, and they still have their all-you-can-eat haddock fish fry, which I found really wonderful.
I bet you it's more than $6 now.
Yeah, but it's still reasonable.
Yeah, right.
And those pancakes are great, and they have this homemade walnut raisin bread or something, and people take it home with them because it's so good.
Oh, does that sound good? Yeah. And that's great. I love that. I love that, you know, that people, you know, remember places that they have visited because they're so cool like that. And I will be in that Rhinelander area too next weekend, so maybe Al Gen Supper Club in Rhinelander. You know, she mentioned the relish tray. I meant to talk about that. I mean, sometimes it's a salad bar, sometimes it's something else, but the relish tray is what I always associate with the Supper Club. They bring out, like, even a Lazy Susan where you can kind of, you know, pick from your crudités or your pickled herring or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, you know, it kind of depends on the place, but it's anything from, like, a small tray of vegetables to, like you say, a big Lazy Susan that has a lot of stuff on it, and you really fill up, and there's plenty to eat, but
got to have cheese spread in the breadsticks, too. Right.
Right. And in the book, I actually do a little poll, which I won't give away the results, but I asked people if they liked relish trays or salad bars.
Both.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
And then the other one was cheese spread or liver pate.
Oh, the liver pate. Yeah, that's right. That's always the salad bar that was at the Dorfhaus had liver pate and cheese spread on the salad bar. So that's one way to do it.
I'm more of a cheese spread guy. So,
you know, I think I'm a cheese spread gal too. Interesting. So you're not going to give away the results.
Well, you know, people can, you know, the interesting thing was the liver and the cheese were almost equal. So,
yeah. Now, I will pass on the pickled herring. That's just me.
I like that, actually. No.
We have Jesse who emails, supper club popularity is because of the farmer lifestyle at the time. It's where you met friends, family, and coworkers. It's completely old-fashioned, and it's awesome. Well, I agree that it's awesome, Jesse, but is it because of the farmer lifestyle, Ron?
The weekends, you know, they could go out and get a big meal with that they didn't have to make at home, you know, and have something a little bit, again, lobster or some seafood that they wouldn't make or wouldn't be available necessarily.
Yeah. I'm thinking, too, that maybe farmer, I'm not sure, but rural, that people could all come to this place and gather. It's a social gathering spot, and you know, everybody knows everybody as sort of a community event.
And a lot of times these places were gathering places well before they became a supper club. They were roadhouses or dance halls. So they've had a history of doing this for a long time.
Let's go to Jim in Shawano next. Hi, Jim.
Well, good afternoon. Good morning.
Morning.
My favorite place is a place called the Bear Bar, and it's in Winchester, Wisconsin.
And where exactly is Winchester?
Winchester is north of Manitowish Waters, between Highway 51 and Presque Isle.
So that's up in that Northwoods.
It's up in the Northwoods area, and it's off the beaten path. It's on the county road. And what's great about it for me is the fact that, well, I'm an old guy now. I'm 68, and this is my 68th summer. My grandparents and parents used to go there, and they used to have a bear in their backyard at the Bear Bar. And you could go out, and the bear was in a cage, and they had a pond. But it's changed over the years only in the fact that they've taken out the games, and the owner is now an accomplished pianist. And he just has a big grand piano in there, and he sits and plays all night as you're greeted, and you can enjoy the breadsticks and the cheese.
Very nice. The Bear Bar. Yeah, and it was more than a bar, though. It was.
It's a bar and a restaurant. Yeah. And they used to have an outdoor patio, but it's all screened in now for the summer and stuff.
And the guy
that used to own it was an accomplished bear hunter in Wisconsin. He has many books. His name was Art Laha. And over the years, he sold it, of course, and now this gentleman is just fantastic and a great gathering place, and the music is just lovely in the background. And
sounds fun, Jim. Thanks very much. And I'm kind of glad they don't have the bear in a cage in the backyard. That little bit of a roadside attraction thing going on there, I think.
Yeah, there were a couple other places. The ranch in Hayward used to have animals in the back, and they no longer do that. But the El Capitan in Florence, they actually have deer that they're not chained or anything, but they show up and feed in the backyard. And one of the pictures in the book, you'll see the deer in the backyard kind of feeding out there. And this is a supper club that makes homemade Italian food as well as regular supper club food.
I have been to El Capitan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because my parents, when they retired, moved up to that region, and we lived on the Chain of Lakes
area,
and it was very nice. And we went to El Capitan, and they have a fairly large Italian immigrant population there. Yeah,
if you drive in Ironwood or Iron Mountain, all the shingles outside are, you know, Italian last names.
Yep, yep. And that's where my father, who was born in Venice, Italy, immigrated to. So that's, I can attest to by personal experience that a lot of Italians moved there. But yeah, the El Capitan's is, you know, my mom used to tell stories about that place, though, too, that there was a little bit of gangster lore associated with that place, too.
I'm sure there was.
Yeah. Gloria in Platteville. Hello, Gloria.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. What's your recommendation?
Oh, my gosh. I have so many. There is an outstanding one called Hilltop between Dickeyville and Dubuque. And it's right on the hill, you know, as you go into Dubuque. And it serves, I mean, it has a little relish, relish tray that you have in the beginning. And they have good food. The price is extremely reasonable. Their drinks are, you know, are awesome. Then we I have another one that I would like to mention, which was the Silent Woman in Fenimore that has been closed. And it takes up, you know, like a couple block or a block there. And it's so sad because once that has gone, then it's really hard for the people. And, you know, it's just a hard business thing. That
yeah. And I'm sorry, Lori, I miss the place in Fenimore that you said closed.
It kind of closes half and half. They have a place that they stay. It's called it used to be called the Silent Woman. And great food, very, very modern. It was just a very, very different with different sections that you would go to eat with a table.
Thank you, Gloria. Because we're past break time, I wanted to get Ron to react to the Silent Woman or the Hilltop.
I've actually been by the Hilltop. I think it's a Greek family that runs it and gets good reviews. And as you go out of town there, you see the Dugout. That was another supper club that has closed, and they have one of the coolest neon signs that's not being used. If anybody wants to go buy it and put it in my backyard, that'd be great.
Ron Fayola is the author of Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round, and we are talking about the resurgence in popularity of supper clubs, and we are welcoming your recommendations for supper clubs that everybody should try. Do you have a favorite one? Why is it your favorite? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine talking with Ray Fayola. He is the author of the new book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, Another Round. He is also the author of a previous book, Wisconsin Supper Clubs, An Old-Fashioned Experience. He also was the producer, director of a 2011 documentary by the same name. And we are talking about, guess what, supper clubs, Wisconsin supper clubs, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let's go next to Gail in Grafton. Hi, Gail.
Hi, Joy and guest. I was wondering if there's still a supper club or restaurant. I'm not sure what the difference is. It's in the Woodruff, Minocqua, St. Germain area called the Blink Bonnie. We used to take our kids there in the 70s when we went camping in the area. And what was unique about it was they had a huge picture window out the back, and you could watch as the bears would come up to this table that was lashed between two trees. And usually when the kitchen staff or whoever would go out to put the food on the table, they would clap to make sure that the bears were treed or got out of the way. Well, one day this young man went out there, and he didn't look around or anything else, and he ran out to the table. And as he ran out, a bear came up, and he made it really fast back to the kitchen.
Oh, good. I'm glad that story had a happy ending. I was a little bit worried there for a second. I doubt that they do that anymore. I think
yeah.
It's illegal.
But Blink Bonnie is still there. It's in St. Germain, still on the side of the road, very heavily wooded right around there. So I can see why the bears would show up. So yeah. Now it's just, I think, Chicago Bear fans that show up.
What's the difference between a restaurant and a supper club?
It's, you know, that's a difficult one to, you know, really, you know, there's supper clubs that could be a restaurant, and there's, you know, same vice versa. But to me, like I said in the beginning, you know, really family-owned place. And if they got the supper club in the title, or they have the supper club food and people are only going there for supper, you know. Blink Bonnie's, for example, people line up to get in there. It's so small. And they'll be out in the rain, they'll be standing out there, you know. So that's a good idea of, you know, the popularity of a supper club.
Yeah, so we've been getting a lot of recommendations for up in the northern Wisconsin, in that north central Wisconsin, Northwoods, Minocqua, Eagle River area. We have it's Amy on Facebook says the Two Lakes Supper Club in Almond is one of Wisconsin's best. She used hashtags to mention shrimp pizza and drunken chicken, two of the famous or signature items at the Two Lakes Supper Club in Almond. That's central Wisconsin.
It is, and that's in my book. In fact, I'll be there signing books on the Saturday, June 25th at Two Lakes. And they do have, in my book, you'll see the shrimp pizza being made. And normally, supper clubs don't serve pizza, but Two Lakes have been doing this since the 40s when they first opened up. And back then, pizza was new to the United States. So,
yeah. I wanted to add one in. Patty on Facebook says, the best classic supper clubs include the Capri in Columbus, Mr. G's in Jacksonport, and Toby's in Madison.
Yeah.
Want to disagree with any of those?
No. Well, I've been to Toby's. Great food. They're open for lunch, but, you know, nice place. Mr. G's, I just was talking to some people about Mr. G's, and they used to have supper club in their name, and now they're kind of regretting it, I was told.
Why?
Well, because now everybody's talking about supper clubs, and they took out...
Oh, they took supper club out. So, yeah. Okay.
But...
Why do you think they did that? Because they thought it sounded too old-fashioned or something?
No. When I looked at their website, they were focusing more on wedding receptions. They have a big banquet hall. So there you go, the weddings.
Yeah.
And
I went to Toby's in Madison for a fish fry, and oh my gosh, it was fun, but you waited like all night to get your food. No, it was at least a couple hours, it seemed, but that's apparently part of the definition.
Absolutely. You sit at the bar and wait, and that's another thing, is a lot of supper clubs have you sit at the bar and then order before you sit down, so that they are only going to seat you when your food is ready and your table's ready, so...
Yeah. Now, have you found any supper clubs in the state that don't necessarily follow the sort of traditional supper club rules or menus or definition that you feature?
Not so much. Mm-hmm. Some are trying to do a little bit more upscale food in addition to maybe some of the regulars. I had foie gras for the first time at a supper club in Hayward at the Fireside.
And
I hate to say it, but it was really good. I know people, might disagree with eating that, but...
But that's sort of like liverwurst, isn't it? No.
Oh, my. But, the upscale thing, but a lot of owners tell me, like, if we change anything, our regulars get really upset. So they try to keep everything the same and maybe introduce a couple new things, but leave the other things there.
It was featured in your first book. It's a bar in Madison called The Old Fashioned. And some people think that that's sort of the new supper club. Do you think that that's the new supper club?
Like I said, I put them in the movie. I like what they were doing, this Wisconsin theme. And I was doing the movie in 2010, so it was new, I like just the fact that they were having only Wisconsin beers and Wisconsin products.
But they're not a traditional supper club.
Not really a traditional supper club.
Yeah. Lots more calls in a little time. So let's go to Joan in Williams Bay next. Hi, Joan.
Oh, good morning. There's a supper club in Delavan, Wisconsin.
What's it called?
Called the Village Supper Club. And it's probably been there since the 50s, and it's just wonderful service, wonderful food, wonderful lake view off of Lake Delavan, and wonderful service. I can't say enough about it. We try to get there at least once a week.
Wonderful. The Village Supper Club in Lake Delavan.
Yep. Familiar with that place, and it is a nice place.
Well, it seems that there's also a tourism connection, it seems, with the concentration of supper clubs, a lot in that Lake Geneva area, the Northwoods area.
Sure. Sullivan's up in Tremplo near La Crosse, they have a Packers table on one side of the dining room and a Vikings table on the other. So
pleasing them both. Kim in Platteville is with us. Hello, Kim.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
We in Southwest Wisconsin also have a lot of very nice supper clubs. I don't think was mentioned in the Fenimore area would be the Cottonwood, and has been there for a lot of years, and has seen a resurgence in the last couple of years. A lot of good food. The old supper club run off 151. We'd have the Village Bar in Keeler.
Yeah.
And the Cottonwood.
You mentioned that one. So, yeah, a lot of them in that southwest Wisconsin area. You recognize these?
Yeah, the Village Bar is in the new book, and they serve a 40-ounce prime rib that we had a guy come in and eat one for the camera.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was a young guy, and he polished that thing off, and they wanted me to have one, and I said, please, let me try it, but not maybe 40 ounces.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Is there a supper club in the book, in your new book, that, I don't know, really surprised you or impressed you or you can't believe it still?
Wow. I don't know. It's hard to say because I do so much research before I go.
You love them all.
Yeah, so there's not a big surprise. Either.
Let's go to Dave in Oshkosh. Hello, Dave.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good. What's your favorite or what would you like to mention?
Well, I have to tell you first, I have your book. I thought it's a great book. And
you have the old book or the new one?
The old one, so I'll have to run out and get the new one.
Oh, great.
But I think the best one in the book is Schwartz's in St. Anna.
What makes it so great, Dave?
What's that?
What makes it so great?
Have you ever been there?
No, that's what you have to tell me.
Have either of you ever been there?
Well, of course. I have.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
It is just unbelievable.
The steaks, right?
The steaks are literally unbelievable. I've never seen a place in the middle of nowhere fill up so quickly in my life.
Great.
It's just a fabulous restaurant. And I'd like to get your comments on it.
Well, they cut their own meat there. They get whole sides of beef there and do the cutting, hand cutting. And so sometimes the meat will, the cut that you're getting will vary by a couple ounces. And they have a 52-ounce Charlie cut prime ribs out there. So, and a sirloin for two, that's like the meat that flipped over the Flintstone car. So,
you know, we have just about a minute to go. What are some of the supper clubs you're planning to visit in the coming days or weeks on your book tour?
Yeah, I'm going to be at in the Waupaca Public Library doing a presentation on June 23rd. Then I'll head over to the Sky Club in Plover, and they're in the first book. And then Two Lakes in Almond on the Saturday the 25th. And then Sunday, June 26th, I'll be at the Silver Birch in Tomahawk, and they're the ones on the cover of the new book, actually.
Tell us about that place.
Silver Birch is great. They're on Half Moon Lake outside of Tomahawk, and it's a really beautiful property. And they serve some interesting food. We had octopus while I was there, so.
Does that ever sound good? I mean, this is a lot of fun, and I'm thinking of the Sky Club in Plover right now, and they have a magnificent salad bar.
That's where the first salad bar was ever installed.
That's right, and that's why I love that place, because I love salad bars. I'm going to have to go to the Sky Club soon, too. Thanks, Ron, for being here.
Well, thank you.
And we'll try to put a post up with your upcoming visits. I'm sure it exists somewhere, so it's up already. Brianne Chasso, my producer, great, has put it up. So thanks to Brianne Chasso and to Kai Brito for producing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. Thanks to Ron Fayola, who is the author of Wisconsin Supper Clubs Another Round. 50 more favorites from across the state. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.